Hoi, 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 cheeky monkeys.
Toppy. It's Bergkamp. That's magnificent.
Gentle squad.
Well done. Bye-bye.
Be like the Arsenal. Be ambitious. Come on.
Hello. Welcome to ABW Live. Yep, it's the NLD. And as you can tell by my demeanor, I'm not happy. But never mind, let's get on the show. First of the box is Gunner 93. Then we have Akash Guha, Stan the Man 450s there, Archie, Ron Ree, and 235 100. Stan the Man 450, K-Man 1867, James Resnick. I think it's a good point, James. The McManus is there. I'll tell you what Will said. Jeffrey O'Hara, Sava Guna, Danny the GFP, Nick Paris is there. Hello, one and all. How are we? Not the result we wanted. Let's just get straight into it because I am annoyed. I'm really annoyed. With me tonight, we have Josh Dawe, the one and only Josh Dawe. Not the fake one, but the real Josh Dawe. How are you, Josh?
Well, that's a couple of brand names ago, that, Jace. The brand that is Josh. But I'm great, thank you. You know, all things considered. But I hope Anthony Taylor dies in his sleep.
That's a bit harsh, but I concur. I'm going to be honest with you. Next we have, he's the friend of the officials. It's John Welsh. Say hello, John.
Hello, John. I mean, you stitched me up already. I mean, yeah. Are you seriously going to ask me to defend the referee and the lino today,
yeah,
aren't you?
Yeah, I really am. I really, really am. Mate, I've been lining this up since that went in. So I'm in a bad mood. Sorry, pal, you all right?
Yeah, not too bad, mate. Could be better, all things considered. But yeah, we'll get through.
Absolutely. We have a donation already, and it's the one and only Unique 79. Thank you, Unique, you're a superstar. And he says, Aubameyang should have shot down the middle. Well, mate, he could have shot anywhere better than that piss-poor effort. It's shocking. Absolutely bloody shocking. Let's go straight into it. John, I'm going to come to you first of all. Lineups and setup. What do you think?
I was pleased to see a back four. We spoke about our predictions. We thought he'd go with a back three. I think most people had him down for that. That was good. Little surprised that Torreira didn't start, but he hasn't been in the best of form, so can kind of get that. Lacazette made sense to me. Ramsey coming in as well. It's a derby. You need the energy. You know how Tottenham press. And although I'm not Mustafi's biggest fan, and I think we have better right backs available, I did get it because it was clear we were going to play very narrow and that the fullbacks weren't really going to push up huge in this game. They weren't going to get forward as much as we're used to. And it was more down to, you know, Iwobi, Ramsey and Mkhitaryan supporting Lacazette with this setup we had here. So I thought it was brave. And to be fair, for majority of the game, I think he was spot on with the way he set the team up today. Emery, I thought he did really, really well.
Yeah, I've got to be honest, it was a breath of fresh air from Unai, considering he's played defensive lineups at home against weak teams, maybe he's finally come to the realization that we are better, you know, being a bit more positive in our setups. So that was nice to see. Josh, the game started, typical derby. It was strong. It was back and forth. In the opening minutes, you see a very good challenge from Sokratis. Very strong on Son. You know, it promised to be a good game, didn't it? Early doors.
Yeah, absolutely. We started really quickly in the game. I think you could see from once we kind of established the lineup what kind of game we were going to play. With Spurs having so many injuries, we must let them have the ball because we knew they couldn't really create anything with it. And for the first 30 minutes, that was absolutely the case. And I think overall, yeah, I think those opening exchanges, we looked to slowly grow into the game and always looked like a threat. With Lacazette up top, we had somebody who can hold the ball up for us and allow, you know, our midfield, our defence to push out a little bit, give them a little bit of breathing time before we actually move on to our proper counter-attack.
John, one of the things that got me was Danny Rose diving early doors already. He's an embarrassing piece of shit of a human being. But it's kind of set the tone for the way they were, not the way they were going to play, but the way they always play. You know, did that concern you early doors?
A little bit. I thought the fact you've got him and you had Son going down what you presume would be our right-hand side against Mustafi, who, look, we know Mustafi likes to go to ground when he makes a tackle. And there's a little bit worrying because you know how much they like to go over easily, the amount of penalties they get, that kind of thing. So it did concern me, and I thought, this, you know, this could really cost us down the side. And not to any fault of Mustafi, but more to them, you know, buying a free kick or a penalty. In the end, it was actually kind of the reverse. They were much more attacking down our left-hand side. I don't know why they came at Nacho so much. It didn't make any sense to me. I would have targeted Mustafi myself. But yeah, it was a concern from the offset. But I actually thought, obviously we're going to talk about the referee and the linesman and stuff at different points, but I thought for the majority of the game, the referee didn't actually buy any of the dives or any of the going down easy. He actually let a lot of things go and gave advantage at the right times and stuff. And you saw a couple of times where Tottenham players were looking for contact to buy a free kick and it wasn't given, and we tackled really well and the referee didn't go for it. So it was a worry at first, but after 10, 15 minutes kind of settled into it and went, okay, actually, it looks like we'll get away with this.
No, I think that's a very fair comment, to be fair, mate. I think the referee didn't buy much from him with a lot of the diving, and you could see that throughout the game. I think it's a good point to make because they are going to get a bit of stick later. Josh, we see Xhaka make a stupid challenge on Kane, put them in a dangerous position. Talk me through it, pal, because, you know, the resulting free kick, well, I don't know. You carry on.
Oh, which free kick was this? The
one early on in the game.
Yeah, I think it was as you say, it was a stupid foul. It was one of those that you're trying to say to Xhaka, you know, they've got Christian Eriksen on there who's not really getting into the game. The only time he really can is at dead ball situations. And seeing him and Trippier standing over them, putting it in, and this is the one where we're fortunate the official gives offside, right? For the Kane header. It's one of those you're thinking, we've been on top for a while here. We've not got anything out of it yet because we've missed a couple of early chances, but just to have Harry Kane, you know, almost a thorn in our side, so to speak, for these kind of games, to get in with that kind of header, it looked worrying. But when you look back and the great line that we actually hold, any kind of doubt I had about the defensive setup we had prior to the game with the lineup was almost given away at that point. And I was quite happy that, you know, we're holding good lines, because it's not been something you could say about Arsenal all season, I think, is how good we have been at set pieces. And I think defensively today, we are absolutely superb.
No, absolutely. And I think it's a really good point about that line. You know, it's right. The resulting free kick and the goal from it is rightfully ruled offside because of their discipline there. And they showed that a lot throughout the game, the discipline to hold that line and not be worried. You know, they've scored. Tottenham has scored from goals from positions like that in the NLD on numerous occasions now, and it was good that was chalked off.
We'd say as well, Jace. Just to balance, because I know as I am the official's friend today, as I always am. Just to give a little bit of balance, Xhaka was extremely lucky to not get booked for that challenge because it was dreadful. Look, there's no one else I'd rather see him kick, but that's at least a yellow card. It was awful.
Yeah, it was a stupid, stupid challenge. It really was. And I got to be honest, I was really concerned at that point. Quick shout out, Yvonne Okafor, you're a superstar. She throws in £5 on the donations. Yvonne, you're too kind to us. Thank you ever so much. And she says, Emery was robbed. Auba is proof. Following AFTV rot in your mind. Lack of shooting practice. Torreira, what the fuck? And Mustafi out. Goodbye. I think that's a bit harsh, Yvonne, but we thank you ever so much, girl. That's lovely. I don't know if you saw it, but Pochettino then was stood talking to John Moss. And I swear to God, it was Jack Nicholson stood behind them. If you watch the game again, there's a Jack Nicholson looking like right behind them. And I was thinking, oh, he's a fucking mad twat as well, isn't he? Sorry, the language is going. I'm getting annoyed. But then, John, we see us break. Ball comes to Lacazette. Fantastic through ball. You got, you know, your Rambo shouting to him to play it through to him and talk me through it.
Yeah, I mean, it comes from what I like most about it is that it's back to front at quick speed. Again, we talked about the fact that we hadn't really seen a lot of what Emery was trying to do in games. And I think in this one and in the last game, you've seen a bit more of his tactics. Kane's in our box. He's trying to look for a contact or anything. He's dragging his feet. Nothing happens. Win the ball brilliantly. Xhaka picks out Lacazette, and Lacazette knows exactly where Ramsey's running, beats the press, and clean through. And then to have the... It's the... I don't know, what's the cojones, as our old mate from Watford would say, as Troy Deeney would say. You know, the confidence and the faith in your ability to run clean through, because Ramsey's not the quickest runner in the world. He will run all day for you, but he's not the fastest. Davinson Sanchez is closing him down to knock it round past Lloris and then put it in the back of the net. The boy loves Wembley. He loves scoring a goal at Wembley, and especially against them as well. So, yeah, it was perfect. And that was definitely... That was a tactic in the game that we were trying to play. You know, bring Tottenham onto us, and then exploit that space in behind. That's exactly what we wanted to do.
Yeah, I was just jumping for joy at this point, and I love the way the communication played into it, and it was executed so effectively. Josh, you're taking it, please.
Yeah, I think my favourite part of the whole build up to the goal is the fact that. It comes from the fact that Harry Kane stutters, trying to dive, but none of our defenders going for it. And then him losing the ball, turning over possession, and we go up the other end and score. And you just think, you little wanker. Because that's what you could see. They were looking for it, and we weren't rising to it at all. You know, Socrates, every time Son came close to him, you could see they were waiting for that kind of touch to come in on them so they had an excuse to go down. We just didn't give them that. And I think it was, you know, if we did mean to put a tackle in on them, we really did mean to give them contact. You know, stuff with the Danny Rose dive. Well, Mustafi later in the game made sure that when Danny Rose went down, it was for a legitimate reason, like pushing him off the pitch. but I think that was the kind of thing that we were, it was just superb. And then, yeah, as you say, and John's gone through with how the goal actually ends up. Yeah, just to see Ramsey to have that kind of ego, should we say, to put it around the goalkeeper to make it 1-0, because it looked like it was gonna be a tight game, and ultimately it was. To do that, just really, really threw it back at them, and I think it was absolutely superb.
Yeah, absolutely. Hunter Bunn piles in with $5.99 just to annoy Danny. Thank you, Hunter, you're superb. And Hunter says, proud of the fight today. They understood the occasion. Disappointed, but a draw is still fine. Away from home against the top six sides. Heads up, come on, you gooners. Nice positive attitude. I got to be honest with you, Hunter. You're teaching me a lesson, because I'm not as positive about this result at the moment. I'm annoyed. We were playing on the break, as we've spoken about, John. The game is back and forth. But... there's no clear team on top at this point, is there?
I know we
won it up.
Yeah, I know what you mean. The thing is, I felt that after the goal and for the rest of the first half, although Spurs had, I don't know exactly the stats, but probably more of the ball than we did, we didn't look troubled. Do you know what I mean? I can't remember, you know, there was Leno, obviously, with the great double save we'll come to in a bit. But other than that, he wasn't tested. I thought we looked comfortable off the ball, which we haven't done this season. I thought our shape was great, the discipline. Everyone was covering their men. Iwobi and Mkhitaryan were covering back brilliantly. The back four had really good cover from Xhaka and Guendouzi. You know, they weren't really getting penetrated. No one's getting in behind them. They couldn't get Eriksen on the ball whatsoever. And you always had that threat of Lacazette and Ramsey up front. And we were almost sort of 4-4-2 at times defensively, and I just thought we looked comfortable and we didn't look troubled no matter what Spurs threw at us. So I just thought we were ahead in that sense in the game, because, you know, they were getting Son on the ball, they were getting Kane on the ball, Trippier out wide, Sissoko as well, but they weren't doing anything with it at all.
Absolutely. Zedtayle, I hope I'm pronouncing that properly, piles in with, I think it's South Korean, isn't it?
No, Swedish krona, Jace.
Swedish krona. Sorry, Tyle. Feels good to be to shut the pundits up. He says media at BT Sports is really disgusting. Very proud of the performance. Never thought we had it in us. Come on, you gooners. I think that's a good point. The media today has been, you know, look, it's all a load of bollocks from them. And, you know, there's not an agenda there, but they have their favourites, and that's the way it is. But, look, you know, we're intelligent enough to make our own decisions. Mike Hernandez pops in with $4.99. Going to take some time for me to get over this. I'm very upset, to be honest. Love you. Thanks for the show, gentlemen. Come on, you gooners, and fuck off, you Spurs. I couldn't agree more, Mike. I couldn't agree more. Josh, my next note here is good defensive shape. We're constantly showing that good defensive shape. There was an incident where that shape forces Eriksen to shoot wide. You know, we kept on keeping that shape throughout the game, which is something we haven't really seen throughout the season, is it?
Yeah, we did have we did have a blip in that first half with I think we had an attack and Socrates ended up with the ball back in his defensive third and Asub Nacho had tracked back and just played the ball into empty space and turned it over. But I think as soon as we got that, which I think was about 25 minutes into the game, we kind of reset. And it was from that point that we then kind of moved on and, you say, continued our great defensive shape. I think the whole of that match, I can't think at any point where, you know, because when you got Kane and Son and Eriksen up front, you kind of expect them to try and drag our players around. And if they did manage to drag one of our centre-backs out, someone else filled in for them. And I think it was great until, you know, perhaps you got a little bit lax towards the end of the first half. But I think overall, as you say, the defensive shape was really good today.
You're on mute, Jace.
Sorry, thank you, mate. Petito 100 piles in with a donation of $5. Spurs are at their peak and Arsenal are a work in progress, he says. Stay positive, Arsenal fans, because shit can never smell like flowers. You are correct, mate. Well played. John, you see Rambo give away a free kick and Trippier. And Tottenham then start to kind of come into the game towards the end of that first half. They start to dominate possession a little bit. Were you concerned by this?
No, not really, because we on here aren't going to go around praising Tottenham players, especially if Chris is on. He never will. But I think their best player, for me anyway, is still Eriksen. He's definitely their most creative and he's their sort of continuity player and links everything together. And they just couldn't get him on the ball. He was so crowded out in the middle. And he wasn't going out wide to receive it. He wasn't running in behind or anything else. So it's as much as they were getting free kicks and putting in good deliveries and like Trippier can put in a really good ball. And obviously we've already seen that for the disallowed goal and so on and everything. Our back line was just dealing with everything so well. I thought Koscielny and Sokratis in particular, I thought was amazing today. He absolutely loved playing against Kane. He was just putting him on the deck all the time, winning all the headers. Koscielny as well. But Mustafi was really good, despite the fact, look, let's be honest, he's not a right back. You know, I'm not Mustafi's biggest fan, and I know people are going to give him stick because of the goal and everything else, which we'll come to. But I thought he had a very good game, basically out of position. Nacho, again, was brilliant at the back as well. They were blocking crosses. They were getting on everything. And like we said, Leno, other than the double save, had nothing to do. So I really wasn't. It's very strange letting a team have that much possession when you know they can be a threat and not being worried. This is in terms of defensive quality, it's probably one of the best Arsenal performances I've seen since Emery's come in.
I wouldn't disagree too much with that. I thought this, and that's part of my annoyance. And we're going to cut, guys. The questions you're pouring in there, we're going to do as many as possible, but there are an awful lot coming through. Okay. We're going to try to address all the points and give you shout-outs. But, you know, it's going to take time today, guys. Josh, it will be as a shot saved by Lloris from a really good counter-attack. Could he have done better? Or, you know, what were your thoughts on that?
Yeah, it's a Wobi. Of course he could have done better. But, yeah, no, when he was coming down, it was like shades of Pires, I thought, when he kind of clocked back in and opened up his body and it's one of those, I think he just needs to get a bit more whip on the kind of shots he's having, because I don't think Lloris was getting it if it was another foot to his right. But otherwise, it was getting to almost like end-to-end stuff. And every time we were going forward, we looked so clinical. I say until Lacazette had any opportunities, but it was just the, it was just a superb chance. I was just very disappointed to not see it finish, because I think on the overall balance, he certainly deserved a goal or an assist today.
No, absolutely.
I really enjoyed that. Sorry, Jace, just quickly. The speed of our transition today, the speed at which we broke through the lines and got in at Tottenham's back four, or, you know, a lot of the times we were in and running at Davinson Sanchez, Alderweireld and Vertonghen. And it was just the crisp passing and the speed of the players in around, you know, Mkhitaryan, Iwobi, Ramsey linking up with Lacazette, I thought was really, really impressive, especially in the first half.
Well, to be fair, I thought our execution was magnificent at times. I thought Mkhitaryan really started to look sharp. Do you know what I mean? He really, really, really started to come into that game and had an effect on the game, okay? Which was superb to see. And, you know, I thought it would be the same on the other side, was good. I thought Lacazette, we weren't quite kind of playing to his strengths. Maybe starting Auba would have been a better option because of his pace. But it was enjoyable to watch. John, talk me through the Lacazette miss, because it wasn't the easiest of chances, was it?
No. I mean, when I saw it in real time, I thought, I genuinely thought, oh, that's dreadful. You know, like, you'd expect him to at least hit the target. But if you watch back the replay, there is, and I know it sounds like an excuse, but there is like a tiny bobble where it just hits the pitch. And I ended up switching. I got fed up with Sky and I found the NBC stream with Lasso and Dixon. And they were talking, they were both talking about it. And it just does bobble up slightly. And he does everything right. And he's trying to put it into the far corner and everything. I just think maybe, like, on another day, that goes in. And I don't want to say then it's totally different, we go on and we win the game, it's all 3 points and everything, because that puts everything all on Lacazette then, which I think is unfair. But he will be massively disappointed he didn't finish the two chances that he had, really, the one early on and that one in particular. And you could see that when he came off as well, that he was disappointed and he knew it was going round in his head that I should have buried at least one of those. I think you muted yourself again, Jace.
Yeah, sorry, guys. Don't get me started. Don't get me started, okay? Never mind. Josh, let's go into Leno double save, okay? Because I thought the first save was good. A really good reaction save with his legs, okay, from Eriksen. But then the follow-up from Sissoko, Leno's going the wrong way, comes back, and, you know, Sissoko must have been thinking, what the hell? Where did he come from there? You know, it was magnificent and testament to a keeper who is growing in stature with us game by game.
Yeah, absolutely. It's contender for save of the season, that combination, certainly. I think, you know, there's the hipsters in that I've seen that are calling the first save better than the second. And to be fair, for him to put his foot down and get his leg in exactly the right position, because there's no, you know, one way or the other with the leg, could easily get nutmegged. But then from that, Sissoko to come in and for him to react and to put it over the bar, because that ball's not very high as well. I think that's the thing that most amazes me about it. The height he gets on the save to flick it up and over the bar and not push it around the post. Absolutely superb save there. And, Gary Payton will be rolling around in his proverbial P45 grave.
Let's leave him out of this, okay? I just thought that was, you know, we've heard a lot of talk around Leno, you know, should we get a better keeper, etc. I think this guy's coming along really nicely. I don't see any issue with that, with him whatsoever. It's the backup you've got to worry about, obviously. That's kind of the first half, guys. So, you know, it's that time of day again. I got a sore neck, okay? I've been feeling a bit under the weather today. The Arsenal have kind of let me down a bit. They've also given me great joy today, but they've kind of let me down a bit. And I got 277 of you watching in this chat box. Have a guess. John, have a guess how many likes I've got with 277 people watching.
Oh, I would say it's less than 100. I'm going to say 60.
Okay. Josh, how many likes should we have when there's 270 plus people watching and we're good enough to come on here and, you know, kind of give a bit of content for people?
I reckon easily 300. Easily 300.
Good maths. I'm impressed with that. You know what time it is, people, okay? Don't be shy. Tap that like button. Tappy, let's get going, okay? Don't annoy me any more than the Arsenal have today. Don't annoy me any more than Anthony Taylor has today. Don't get me started on that frigging linesman because I'm going to lose my shit about him, okay? Don't get me started about Aubameyang's penalty because I'm not fucking happy. So start tapping that like button. I'll have 120 likes right away, please. Come on, let's get going. Otherwise, I will write to your parents, each and every one of them, and I will tell them what a shame you are to their family. Thank you. Let's get going. Oh, that's getting a bit of the vigor out. Oh, because hell of a but sore shoulder. Neck, I don't know what I've done. I went to see a massive attack last night in Bristol.
Oh, really? I saw them years ago when I was much younger. Christ, 99, 15? Yeah, I was 15 at V Festival.
Yeah, wow, they were good, they were brilliant. Excuse me, chat box, stop talking, start tapping, let's get going. As BB79 says, stroke it, ladies and gentlemen. Right, okay, on to the second half. John, you see Torreira replacing Guendouzi. Now, before the game started, I got to be honest with you, I said in a chat, I'd have started a Torreira. But in all fairness, I thought Guendouzi had a really good first half.
Yeah, I thought he was really good. I thought he was progressive going forwards as well, again, getting more of that in his game lately. He did some nice little 1-2s and got higher up the pitch, trying to link up play. I'm not quite sure why he did it bang on half time. That was the only sort of question mark I had on Emery in the game. That and one other sub, but it sort of changed circumstances because of referees and things that happened. But I thought Guendouzi was fine. I agreed that I didn't think he's going to be able to last the 90 minutes just because of the intensity and stuff, the amount of games he's already played this season. He is still very young. It is a very physical game. You know, he was playing against Wanyama and Sissoko in there, who are two really, really big lumps. So it's going to be difficult for him. But I wasn't like upset to see him go off or anything, but I didn't think it was like a needed substitution or anything like that. I thought you could have done another 10-15.
I kind of agree, because unless it was an injury, I thought we were handling everything pretty well. And I thought, you know, we were the ones who were going to look like scoring.
To be honest, I thought the looseness that we saw at the towards the end of that second half was partly down to some indiscipline that we've seen from Guendouzi, just slowly getting a little bit caught up in the like emotion of the game rather than keeping his head like some of the other defenders were, and he was kind of, you know, chasing the ball rather than keeping to his position.
So the one thing I would say is that Torreira came on and he looked like he was doing a slightly different role. He was almost man-marking Eriksen at times and kind of tracking his movement rather than, whereas Guendouzi was sort of marking a position on the pitch. So it might have been a slight tactical switch, yeah.
Yeah, that's fair. I mean, the one thing with Eriksen, I watched him play for Denmark against Wales not so long ago, and he didn't have much of the ball, but when he did, he is able really to, you know, to turn it on sixpence and influence the game. So you can't be too harsh, can you? Josh, Lacazette, the second big chance he has. There's a nice interplay, build a play towards the chance, and he shoots wide. I thought it was a big chance and a poor miss. What did you think?
Yeah, I think he snatched it as well. I think it was a case of, you know, it's that kind of momentum of his last shot as well, that you kind of lose a little bit of your nerve. You're not as calm, you're not as calculated, because you're like, oh, I should have really scored that previous one. So I think he snatched it a little bit, and maybe that's why we saw him come off in the end. But, you know, it's just kind of worrying that we've got a couple of strikers at the moment who seem to not be particularly in great form overall in terms of shooting or scoring goals compared to how they were earlier in the season.
Yeah, it was frustrating. John, your thoughts on that?
I'm not as worried. Look, strikers can have a bad game, and if you get both strikers, you know, in the same game having a bad game, it's just one of those days. It's unfortunate. I thought the rest of their play was fine. It was just their finishing today, Lacazette in particular. But I thought everything else he did in the game was really, really good. And that's the thing with him. I think if he stays on the pitch and gets another chance, he probably does end up burying one. But I understood that, again, the tactical thing, the game's becoming more stretched, it makes more sense to having Aubameyang on, you know, that kind of thing. So I'm not quite as worried as Josh, I would say, about their form. They both, look, we've seen it. Aubameyang's like, is he top goal scorer in the league at the moment, or tied with Salah, I think? He snatched at loads of chances this season. He's done it a plenty. Lacazette snatched at a few as well. They're going to miss some. But they're still banging in the goals, and at the rate they're scoring them, I still wouldn't have any worries.
Yeah, to be fair, for our remaining fixtures, there aren't too many big games in the league, certainly.
Yeah.
Look, it's only United to come, really. That's the big one, you know. Yeah. That, and, you know, if we keep our form going, because the one thing, this game and the previous two, we've played some good stuff, and that's a real positive. Josh, we see a set piece. I can't remember who gave away the free kick, but well worked from the scum, and Alderweireld come free and have a shot into the side netting. That was probably their best chance of the game, other than the Sissoko effort that Leno saved, wasn't it?
Yeah, I think we were a little bit fortunate, because it was a header back across from either Kane or Vertonghen. And Alderweireld flying in, and I think the angle wasn't really there for him. Good covering from Leno to just make sure that if Alderweireld had to put it anywhere, he had to put it to his near post rather than knock it across the face of goal, because he had it covered. But yeah, as you say, it was getting nervy towards at that period of time.
Yeah. Then we see Aubameyang replace Lacazette, which I thought at that point in the game, utilising Aubameyang's gas was the right way to go. You'd seen Lacazette work really hard throughout the game. Yes, there are two misses there. Everybody can have different opinions on them. You know, sometimes it's tough out there, you know, and that's the way it goes. But we see Mkhitaryan, John, he kind of just clips the base of Kane's boot, and the embarrassing dribbling twat dives over like he's been shot. You know, at this point, you could see them going over at every opportunity. Just how much do you hate Tottenham Hotspur?
I don't think there's words to describe it. Yeah, there actually isn't. I remember the only way I can sort of make a good analogy of it is when Arsenal were winning everything and you used to have Martin Tyler on Sky, and he'd always say, we've run out of superlatives to describe Arsenal. Well, I've run out of whatever the opposite of that is to describe them and my feelings towards them. The only thing that was annoying, like, I, Mkhitaryan kicks him, whatever, it's the tiniest tap, and yeah, it's a foul. The only thing that was slightly annoying is that came off a really good move, Socrates actually had him covered. Mkhitaryan didn't need to make that foul on him, but I didn't mind him making a foul on him. It's just like letting him know. There's like Mustafi doing the one on Danny Rose in the first half, where he basically tries to throw him out the stadium, which I thought was hilarious. And Unai standing there on the sideline applauding it. I was just like, that was great. But yeah, we all know, we all hate them the same. We just can't I don't even want to talk about them. Can we just move on?
I will say this, okay, that what annoys me is the shit they get away with week in, week out. Everybody can see what happens. A bit, it's slightly akin to Liverpool. And the FA and the PGMOL don't do anything about it. And it's just getting fucking embarrassing. It's a stain on the game. But Michael Hahnemann has just piled in with a £5 donation. Michael, you are a gentleman and a scholar, sir. Maybe this will help pay for some decent officials. Cheated not once, but twice. First the offside, then the encroachment on our penalty. We will bring up the encroachment later, Mike. I think that's a good point. Josh, we see a foul on Mkhitaryan from Danny Rose from the counter-attack through Aubameyang. Danny Rose is starting to get away with a bit, wasn't he?
Yeah, I think there was a lot of that on both sides, to be honest. But it always seemed to be, and maybe this is, no, actually there's no maybe about it. This is definitely biased, but it always seemed like we were the one that was then given the card when Anthony Taylor finally snapped with all the little niggly fouls that were going in. You know, there was things like Xhaka when he got his booking. I don't think that was really, you know, for dissent, I don't think that was really a booking. When you've got, you know, 8 or 9 outfield or Arsenal players surrounding a referee, I don't think you can then just book one of them for dissent. You've got to get 9 yellow cards out there, really. But yeah, I think some of the things that Danny Rose got away with in this game, and we'll get through them because he had quite the eventful second half, shall we say.
We're not far off coming to that, to be fair.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So I'd say, yes, he was very lucky to maintain his position and stay on the pitch for 90 minutes.
To throw the voice of balance in and annoy everyone listening in the chat box as well, Granit Xhaka didn't get booked until the 74th minute in this game and only got a yellow card. I'm just saying.
Look, we'll come to that in a second. Okay? We're gonna come
to fair, I know the tackle that he should have got a yellow card for that he got away with.
Yeah.
Look, a bad referee is a bad referee, you know, in the end of the day. Mkhitaryan has a shot well blocked by Danny Rose. Lamella shoots wide. And then you see Rose bear down on Bernd Leno. John gets a shot away. Leno saves. The ball kind of bounces up. Now, Rose has every right to go for the ball. I haven't got a problem with that. But his studs end. He goes in, studs up, foot high, ends up in Leno's chest.
Yeah.
Whilst I agree there's no intent on it from Danny Rose to injure Bernd Leno, surely that is dangerous play. Leno gets a yellow card. How is that not a red?
You mean Rose gets a yellow card, not Leno. Rose, I think because of the reasons you said, and I know everyone in the chat box is now saying straight red card, and I think... Like at the time, there were some people saying that, but most people, I think, were saying yellow. He's gone for the ball. He's got every, like you said, he's got every right to go for it. His studs are up. The ball is up that high and trying to play it. And it's unfortunately one of the dangers of being a goalkeeper. You will get caught sometimes. I think if Torreira doesn't get sent off, not as many people are calling for a red card. It would be my one thing. And I know they're at different points in the game, but they end up being linked because you look back on one and you compare it to the other and people go, well, why is one a red and why is the other one not? You can give a straight red for it, I think. That's fine. But I think from the referee's point of view, it is always the try and keep 11 on the pitch. If he did that to an outfield player, I think he gets a red card, which I know sounds weird. I think because of where the ball, and I'm not saying he shouldn't get one either. That's not what I'm saying. Yeah. I just think the way the referee views it and the way he looks at it, yeah.
To flip that though, in the home game, Alderweireld, the challenge he got sent off for, I don't think there was any intent there. But because the follow through is dangerous,
yeah,
it's a red card. Okay. Now, if those are the rules of the game, then that's a red card.
Yeah, oh yeah, no, I'm not disagreeing with you. The problem is it comes down to that referee's interpretation on the day.
Fouls on goalkeepers are always dropped down a certain level. It's very difficult to get sent off for fouling a goalkeeper. Very difficult. Like, you basically have to kick them in the face, and then even then you say, well, I was going for the ball and it was a goal scoring opportunity. It's the fact that goalkeepers put parts of their body in places where you normally don't see them in, on the outfield. I think that's the difference.
I don't think me or Josh necessarily defending Danny Rose and saying that he shouldn't have got a red card. But you have to take it in the context of the ball is free and there to be won, and it's a goalkeeper, and the goalkeeper is on the floor at the time. Like, Leno's on the floor being brave.
Okay, okay. My point would be to this, okay, right, lads? Okay, if that is a defender going to clear that ball, Danny Rose's studs are up onto the knee.
Yeah.
Right.
And that's what I'm saying. If it's a defender, and that's what I'm saying. If it's a defender goes to clear the ball, then the likelihood of it being a red instead of a yellow, I think that's the difference.
Yeah.
I think if it's an outfield player and not a goalkeeper, that's where it comes from.
I still think Anthony Taylor's got a hangover from Arsene Wenger. Arsene Wenger should have bottled the fucker. I hate him. Okay, Josh, then we see a fantastic break. Mkhitaryan, a lovely through ball to Aubameyang, and well defended by the scum. You just thought at that point, we're on the boil now. We're going to catch him on the break, didn't you?
Yeah, we were finally getting Aubameyang and spotting his runs in behind. And the number of times Mkhitaryan's picking up the ball, you can see that's what he's looking for. He's looking for Aubameyang. He's looking for his old Dortmund mate. Try and feed him through. I think, looking at it, I'm not sure if the chat box or anyone in here would agree that Aubameyang looks a little bit slower than he did earlier in the season. Like, he's lost a yard of pace or so, because he didn't seem to, or it's a case of he's just not using it, because he didn't look as quick as I normally remember him being.
I think Davinson Sanchez has got some pace, hasn't he?
Could he? That's the thing, though.
No, he couldn't.
Catch Ramsey? No.
No, he couldn't. talking of Ramsey, John, then we see Ramsey replacing Mesut Ozil. Now, I messaged you at this point. I think this is a dangerous substitution. A, if we pick up an injury, it leaves us short. B, you had Ramsey actually influencing the game. Mesut not known for his big game mentality, really, with us. What did you think of that substitution at the time?
I didn't necessarily have a problem with Ramsey coming off, because, you know, the amount of ground he's covered and he's going to be tired. I know he'll still keep running and everything else, but the longer the game goes on, your decision-making starts to get worse and all those kind of things. So it's going to affect your performance. The problem is, I'm not sure who else he could bring off the bench. You know, you're in a situation where he clearly wants to win the game, which I think is great. You know, that's the right attitude to have and everything. But it's, and again, it's not, I'm not saying it's a knock on Ozil, but at that point in the game, Tottenham were more on top than we were. They had more of the ball. Are we bringing Ozil on to hope that we can, like, nick it quickly and get it into him so he gets that final pass? Do you know what I mean? And again, that is, I'm not trying to insult Ozil, because although he came on and he didn't do a lot, I don't think that's necessarily his fault. He's come into a game in a difficult period where we're not at our best at that particular time and we don't have a lot of possession. But his only other options are, so he's got Maitland-Niles, which I don't think really is a realistic option. Dennis Suarez, which certainly isn't, or Kolasinac, and then you have to change the system slightly. I'm not sure it's one I would have gone with. Maybe you wait another 5-10 minutes. I don't know. But I'm not against taking Ramsey off at that point.
No, it's a difficult one, because he's made two substitutions beforehand.
Yeah.
That's the big thing I thought with it is, if you pick up an injury, if somebody pulls a hamstring or something like that, you're down to 10 men. Yeah. And
like being progressive and proactive with the substitutions. I think that's really good. And Stephen Selby says in the box that maybe Kolasinac would have been the better option. And you can do that and play him in front of Monreal and you move Iwobi or Mkhitaryan slightly into the middle or whatever, you know. So there's other options there. But again, this is not me having a knock at Meza, who everyone knows I don't like that much. I thought he was fine when he came on, but it's not the sort of game he's going to have a huge influence on, unfortunately.
He's anonymous. He's absolutely anonymous. I'm sorry. He was, you know, this is the thing. It became a pointless substitution after that. Mm. Josh, let's come to the big points then, guys, because we got 3 points left for the game. It's a free kick to, I don't know who gave away the free kick, but free kick to Tottenham. We line up. Harry Kane, once again, is clearly offside. Szczęsny, I think, has got him covered. Sokratis is in there as well, covering the ball across. Mustafi comes in and you know, barges in Kane from the back. Anthony Taylor gives a penalty. Now let's go through this point by point. A, was Harry Kane offside?
Yes, and that's not bias because there was a line and everything. It is black and white. Him and the rest of his Tottenham colleagues were all offside. It wasn't just a case of this was one of you know, four people who were all running to the ball that were offside. This was, we held our line just like the Harry Kane goal that we'd ruled out in the first half. Exactly the same situation, and we'd managed to keep our line again. And it wasn't even difficult when you, well, I say it's not difficult when you look at the position the linesman's taken. He's not even level with, well, actually, no, he's level with our players. He's then looking round the corner to work out if they're offside, which is clear that they are. What then happens with Mustafi? You know what? We've got, what, 6 other games today in the Premier League? I reckon you see 3 or 4 similar things and none of them are blown up for a foul. None of them are given as a penalty. Yes, it's stupid and you shouldn't try and risk it, but it's also a case of collisions happen when people are jumping. And it was just one of those that's incredibly disappointing. It's a case of, yes, people are going to blame Mustafi because, you know what? He's a very good lightning rod for criticism 98% of the time. And to be fair, for that 2% of the game where he did something stupid, it ultimately, you know, got Spurs back into the game. I wouldn't say it cost us the game at all because we then had an opportunity later in the game to rectify the whole situation. But in this instance, it's certainly his decision and, yeah, the referee, well, the whole, not just the referee, because, you know, the linesman's at fault as well in this situation. I just think it's a farce, to be honest.
Absolute joke. And John, your thoughts on this, because it pisses me off. I'll see our guys bundled over in the box all the time. Okay, all the fucking time, bundled over, nothing given. Okay, the line though is an absolute fucking muppet. That's what to visit.
Right, so before we all go out on the streets and try and find out where the linesman lives and go to lynch him or whatever,
I don't think we should lynch him. I think we should tick him off severely, okay? I'm not encouraging violence, okay, at all. But a strong ticking off will do.
Okay, well, what I would say is anyone in this chat box, yourself, me, Josh, whoever, please tell me when you've had an absolutely perfect day at work and you've never made one single mistake. It happens, right? I'm not saying it's...
John, every day.
Every day you're perfect, Jace. Of course, that's just me. But look, linesmen will make errors. The whole thing where they show you the image and they show you where the lino is and everything, you've also got to take into account the fact that where is that picture being taken, the angle it's being taken at. It's never... You're never seeing it from the actual linesman's perspective. I'm not saying he shouldn't have given offside. Linesmen make mistakes. You look at the goal they scored from, everyone's saying Kane was a mile offside. I mean, he wasn't. He's like half a head. That's not a lot. In the other one, it was offside. Yeah, yeah.
He's got a pretty massive head, though, to be fair.
He has got a pretty massive head. And
I'm not being funny. The dribble. Thank you.
The dribble coming out of it should be the giveaway. Look, people are saying the linesman was not level. Well, he's level in line with our defenders. And if you're saying, look.
If you're level with our defenders, and then you see a player on the other
side.
Okay, look,
people would. It shouldn't have been a goal. Yes, it was offside, so they shouldn't have got the penalty. I'm just going to go through this very quickly because people are having a go at me. Oh, it's so annoying. If you look at it, the furthest part of any of our defenders' back is Xhaka's shoulder, which is the last part of your body you can use to touch the ball. Linesman makes mistakes. Kane's head, half of his head, is past that point on that perfect line. Now, that sometimes it doesn't get called. The fact is, when you saw the other one that got called for offside and he scored in the first half, they called that and he got it spot on. You know, he could have easily got that mistake wrong as well. So, okay, so you play to the whistle. That's annoying. If you've got VAR from next season, it's going to be, you know, that thing gets reviewed and they go, okay, it's no penalty because he was offside. So it's fine. It's unfortunate. It's annoying as fuck for us. Then you look at Mustafi's challenge. I think it is a penalty. It's a stupid foul to make. He shouldn't go in like that. He makes it too obvious, if anything, the fact that he's fouling. But I do agree with Josh and Jason in the fact that you will see other games today where those fouls will be made in the box and they will not be given as a penalty. And that's annoying. It's frustrating as shit because they shouldn't have had one. They shouldn't have had it at all. But how many times this season have we said we've got away with one massively? I'm not saying it makes it right in this game because that whole thing about it balances itself out over the season. Well, it doesn't because you might get the decision in the game that doesn't, you know, you're winning already or that kind of thing, and you don't get the decision in a big game like this one, you know, which we needed. To be fair, we did then get a very lucky decision afterwards.
That's what I was going to say. Yeah.
You say it doesn't balance itself out. But what I'm saying is that the whole balancing itself out doesn't work. But the point is, we all get decisions in our favour that shouldn't be given as well. You cannot get 100% perfect all the time. It will never happen because you have human error. It's impossible to get it.
Okay, point made, to be fair, pal. Kane, unfortunately, puts away the penalty. We move on. All of a sudden, now the fouls are starting to ramp up. The scum have had a bit of taken some real solace from this and got a bit of momentum going. We see Llorente go up for a challenge in the air with Koscielny. And he just goes through. There's hardly any attempt to go for the ball. He's led with his arm. He's gone straight through Koscielny, Josh, and he picks up a yellow card. Oh, you know, I mean, at this point, I was screaming because that was. There was no intent to go for the ball. What did you think?
Yeah, I think it's a similar one to, you know, we saw with Danny Rose on the goalkeeper that, you know, if you make a challenge in the air with a forward or a defender with your elbow, it generally gets dropped down a level of severity. But if I'm just running along, like Lacazette did against Partey, you know, if I throw my elbow out and I'm just running, that's then deemed more severe than if I jumped up in the air and elbowed someone in the face. It's just one of those weird, like, unwritten quirks of officiating. So I wasn't too annoyed that he wasn't, you know, I wasn't calling for him to be sent off, should we say. I just thought it was part of, like, the derby grit was slowly coming into this game. The game had kind of woken up, because to be honest, it wasn't boring from an Arsenal perspective during that game. We had completely nullified Spurs until they, you know, got the game, got their goal back. They kind of woken up. Lamela had come on as well and was, you know, putting all of the niggly little fouls he likes to do as well. And we were giving it back as well, which was great to see. It wasn't just a case of, this wasn't one-way traffic of players leaving things in each other. We were doing the same. I think Granit Xhaka's tackle on Danny Rose, which I think he should have got a booking for, but he didn't after he'd got his yellow for dissent from the penalty. That kind of showed that we weren't afraid. And, you know, if you're going to leave something in on our man, we're going to leave something in on yours. And it's something that we've lost over, we probably haven't had for a couple of seasons. And now we've brought the likes of Xhaka into the side. We've got Lichtsteiner, Kolasinac, Socrates. We've got these players with dark arts. Oh, Torreira as well, to a point.
Yeah.
I think that's just, yeah, absolutely.
Fair comment. Vibhor Singh bangs in 299. Thank you, Vibhor. And he sums this up quite perfectly, in my opinion. Refs were poop. Yeah, I'd go with that. Thank you, Vibhor. You're an absolute star, mate. Much appreciated. John, on to the next penalty. Great bit of interplay. I think it was Mkhitaryan. I'm not sure if I'm right in this. But Mkhitaryan plays the ball through to Aubameyang, streaking into the box. Sanchez challenges him. He has got a hand on him. He does have a hand on him. He does collide with him. It's not the greatest collision. Do you know what I mean? It's not really, it's not actually a collision. They make contact, rather. And Aubameyang goes down. Aubameyang did go down a little bit easily, didn't he?
I mean, you say make contact. That might have been the gentlest high five on the back I've ever seen in the Premier League. Look, it's not the worst. It's not the worst penalty we've ever had. It's not Danny Welbeck-esque, but yeah, it was. it was generous. Let's put it that way. Some people made a really good point actually in the box. I apologise whoever it was who said it, but if Lacazette was still on the pitch and it's him who makes that run, we don't get the penalty because Lacazette's too honest of a player and stays on his feet. But yeah, I don't think that was a penalty, to be perfectly honest. I thought that was very, very soft.
It was, wasn't it?
I was screaming. Really was. Like, I was absolutely screaming for it, but I was like, there's no way that's a penalty. But I was like, please, referee, give it.
I will try to defend Anthony Taylor here. The one thing I will say is, if he's behind them, which he is at that point, okay, then that's all he can see is Sanchez's hand on things on Aubameyang's back, okay? So therefore, you know, it's probably... Look, it's another penalty that shouldn't have been given in this game, let's be honest, okay? But I can see from his perspective why he would give that. Josh, on to you for this. Then the resulting penalty... Did Aubameyang ever look like he was going to score it? Because he did not look confident, did he?
No, I think he was too busy thinking about his celebration. I'm going to blame Ian Wright for this. It's all Ian Wright's fault. Because he was too busy asking him pre-match about, what are you going to do? You know, is Spider-Man mask going to come back? And he's like, no, I'm going to do something special when I next score. And I think it was one of those that, you know, he's thinking further ahead than... actually got to take the penalty. Yes, there's encroachment on it and it should be retaken, but we're only calling that because we missed it. You know, if we score and Vertonghen's still, you know, a couple of foot into the box, then we're just going, oh, that's fine, don't need to retake that. It's because he missed it. And then the follow-up as well. Great awareness from Iwobi to manage to put that back in and onto Aubameyang's foot. And yeah, the encroachment from Vertonghen then comes again to bite us on the backside because he's close enough to clear it. But I think in that situation, Aubameyang had two clear-cut opportunities to score and wasted both of them.
To be fair, Kay, on the encroachment, it's a rule of the game. Yes, if we score, but he didn't score. And it does allow him to get onto Aubameyang to make that challenge. I'm not really sure if he made contact with Aubameyang before he clears the ball. It could have been another penalty. It could have been a retake. But as it is, it was a bloody awful penalty. I expect better from a player of Aubameyang's quality than to see that. But it does happen, doesn't it, John?
Yeah, it does. That's exactly the same place he put the penalty before against Lloris, I think, as well, which is not great. But yeah, he did not look confident at all when he was walking up. Dixon and Lasso on coverage, they said, like, as he was walking up to take it, they both said he's not scoring this because you can just tell with a player. Yeah, I just like rifle it into the top corner. I don't get it. Like, you've seen some of the goals he's scored. But I don't know whether his confidence is a bit low or he felt the pressure or something. It's not like he's not, you know, he's played in really big games in Germany, like the big games against Bayern Munich and stuff like that, and in derbies and whatever. So he scored goals in those.
He's faced Lloris before as well, so yeah. And Leon.
Yeah, so it's really, really disappointing.
That Ruhr Valley derby is massive. And this is the one thing. I don't get it when people say, oh, they don't understand what the derby means. If you're growing up playing any sport anywhere in the world, you have played your local rivals. These guys know what it fucking means to play in a derby. You know, let's not kid ourselves. Every single sportsman on the planet knows what it means to play in a derby. Whether they then come out and show the requisite passion, the requisite performance, etc., that's another kettle of fish. But they don't know what it means. This derby means just. Of course they fucking do. You know, you're an imbecile if you think they don't. Everybody's played against their local teams growing up. They know how important it is. So, you know, we've got to get that out of our heads. I just think he looked nervous from the start. We've had a couple of more donations. The one, the only, Stefan Selby, who, by the way, has been trolling me all day. Yes, Stefan, I've seen it. I've seen you calling me amateur. You are correct. I've seen you ask me to put a light on. You are correct. But Stefan piles in the 10 quid. Thank you so much, Stefan. And we've also had a donation from Richard Morris. Richard Morris, you're an absolute star, mate. Thank you ever so much for that. That is really generous of you. Well played. Absolutely superb. I can't get over the donations we got today. Guys, the final really part of this game is the Torreira red card. I just thought it was an absolute shit show of a decision. I thought with the way the game had gone, with the previous challenges, etc., it was out of the decision was out of character with what had gone before and showed no consistency whatsoever. If he'd have sent off Danny Rose for the challenge on Leno, I'd have been happy with him sending Torreira off. I wouldn't have had a grumble, but it didn't happen. John, you first, then please pass over to Josh. I'll be back in a second.
I thought that the red was okay, but he could have just given a yellow because it's the last minute of the game. And I think that, you know, the Spurs fans would have moaned, and obviously the players would have as well on the pitch. But I think because of what happened with the Rose challenge and the fact he hadn't got a red, it looks so much worse with the Torreira one now. But I think, again, like you said earlier, Josh, I think that draws the difference between a challenge on a goalkeeper and an outfield player. The issue for me is it looks like Torreira's out of control and then it looks like dangerous play. And I just think if he does the same thing on a goalkeeper, then maybe he gets away with it like Rose and gets a yellow card.
To be honest, initially, I didn't really think it was a foul. I thought he'd won the ball. But I think the thing that gives it is the reaction of Danny. It's Danny Rose. He puts a tackle.
Yeah.
It's him or Sissoko.
It's Rose, yeah.
Yeah. And it's the fact that he goes down like a sack of potatoes. He's then rolling around screaming blue murder. I think that's what makes Anthony Taylor's decision for him. You know, when the goalkeeper gets, studs into his chest, he's still got his adrenaline going. He's still got to try and save. The ball's still in play. Rose has gone over. We're about to make a break as well. We've just got straight in on their back four or back three at that time. We could easily have scored at that point. But it just makes, you've got to scream loud enough. It's gamesmanship at that point or unsportsmanlike behaviour. It's a dark arts thing to shout, scream and make sure that the referee pulls it back. Because I think initially he was happy to let that go. He would have called it up quicker because Torreira's won the ball. He's played a couple of parts. He's played a pass and we've moved on a bit. He's then called it back to that, which to me sounds like he doesn't.
Look,
think
I don't have an issue with Rose rolling about and screaming for it because I'd want our players to do it as well. But there's no denying the fact that Torreira catches him high, like just below his knee.
Yeah,
his studs up showing and stuff.
And I think it's a yellow in that regard.
I just think it's that late in the game. He could have just given him a yellow card and let it go. Yeah.
I thought you were going to applaud that decision.
No, I did say, I don't necessarily have a problem with the red because I do think it is dangerous play because he could have injured Rose. But because of the fact Rose doesn't get the red card on for the challenge on Leno when he's going for the ball, it makes the Torreira one look 10 times worse and why there's no balance between the two. I think that's the problem.
That's the only issue I have with a red card. So I think it isn't a great challenge. It's the only issue of it's not in line with the way he's refereed the game beforehand.
Yeah.
So therefore, there's no consistency and it's a shameful fucking decision. Right. Carlito El Guna, Unique 79, you're being naughty, lads. You're being really naughty there, cheeky buggers. Thank you, guys. That's the game. I suppose we're getting, you know, final feelings on the game are we've thrown it away for me. Between, you know, a soft penalty, a poor linesman's decision, and us not scoring another soft penalty, I just feel a little empty, a little hollow. I thought that Unai's setup deserved the win. And I'm gutted. I really am gutted. What are your thoughts, boys?
I was really pleased with what Emery did today. I think since that Barthez game, it's just got better and better. Today, he was brave. I didn't think he'd go back four, but he did. I think he called it right tactically. I think even when we didn't have the ball, we looked comfortable. Defensively, it was probably one of our best performances. The discipline on the line for... in open play and on free kicks and stuff was superb. For all four defenders today were really good. Mustafi, obviously, you know, silly foul, but I don't think other than that he really put a foot wrong. He put in two bad crosses. Fine, he's not a right back. I'm not expecting him to whip the ball in like, you know, fucking David Beckham or whatever. I thought Sokratis and Koscielny were immense. The midfield was really, really good today as well. The disappointment for me is that we've played that well, let Spurs have the ball when we wanted to, and it was just the finishing today was the one thing. If Lacazette takes one of those chances or Aubameyang puts the penalty away, I think we come away with it and we go, you know what, yeah, we were worthy of the 3 points. If you're trying to look at it from a neutral perspective, how many clear chances did we create other than the goal we scored?
What the penalty?
It was the penalty and then the two for Lacazette. And I would say one for Iwobi as well. Which again is...
He also had Mkhitaryan have shot blocked.
Yeah. But then you look at a couple of chances Spurs had as well. Is a draw a fair result? Look, before the game, I would have taken a draw, probably. To be perfectly honest. Just because our away form, especially against the top six, is so poor. Let's be honest. You look at our record, it is absolutely dreadful. So I would have taken a point before the game. We've come away feeling we should have had three, which I think is true. We should have. You know, we got poor referee decisions. But then the referee helped us out and we could have won the game anyway. He sort of cheated us back into it, in a sense. But I think the momentum we've gathered, the way that we're playing, and if they can keep that going, the belief that will give the players going into this run towards the end of the season now, I think is the real big thing for me. And the fact the players, you know, it's not just the players now, the fans are really on board with Emery. I don't think anyone's going to complain about Emery today.
No, I don't think you can. John Welsh has officially taken over the Chris Carpenter mantle of Carpenter and the shit. Josh, yeah. I want to ask you a slightly different question, okay? Before we go to questions. Do you think that, and this is awfully harsh now, I'm being awfully harsh, okay? So please bear that in mind.
It's not like you, Jace.
Do you think Unai's final substitution cost us the game? Because I don't see Ozil today having any effect on the game whatsoever. Not in attack, not in defence. And maybe... That was the one decision he got wrong.
No, I think you're being very harsh because the player that cost us the game was Aubameyang because he didn't score the penalty and then didn't score the follow-up. It's simple as that. Mesut Ozil was not even involved in that situation. When he came on, there were situations where he didn't necessarily put himself over where he should have, you know, with the last minute, the almost last penultimate kick of the game. You know, when we get that free kick right at the end, he's sitting right outside the box, and he's sitting deeper as a creative outlet than where I'd prefer to see him, which would be closer to the box. And eventually the ball he puts in gets a deflection, and yeah, the game kind of finishes at that point, just after Torreira then gets himself sent off, or just before Torreira gets himself sent off. So yeah, I am disappointed in what he showed, but did he cost us the game? No, not by any stretch.
I'm not saying Ozil would cost us. I'm saying the decision.
You said the substitution, which you're saying then in part means Ozil cost us the game.
Yeah,
which I would say he didn't. What I would say is, yeah, Emery could have bought a different player on who knows how to score a fucking penalty. Let's put it that way.
No, it's one of those things. I'm just looking at that, and I was
disappointed.
It, but it's just one of those questions. You know, you look around. Ozil's such a lightning rod. It's one of those. You know. But there you go. Right. Let's go to questions. Let's go to some questions, and we'll try to rumble through these as quickly as possible, guys. Okay, so the first question was from Twitter, from Dash Conrad, and he's at Dan Brazil, okay? To you, John, why did Xhaka not take the penalty and laser it into the top bins? As good a finisher as Alba may be, he lacks conviction from 12 yards out. He didn't think he was going to make it, and to be fair, he didn't look confident, did he?
I assume they either have set, like, who takes penalties, you know, whether Lacazette's on the pitch or Aubameyang, or the players just nominate themselves. It'll be one or the other. So my guess is that the strikers always take the penalties. It'll be one of those two, yeah.
Okay, I'm going to take this next question. Josh, you take this next question because there's one coming up in a bit that I'm going to take. T. Ronry, at T. Ronry 14 on Twitter says, I do not condone hate towards players, but I'm finding it really hard to express how I feel. But yet another stupid action by Mustafi, and not for the first time. Discuss.
I would say overall, you can, you know, dislike a player, but in this game, he had a good game. The only time he had a brain fart was in a situation where offside should have been given, prior to his brain fart. So, and I think, you know what? We were all worried, perhaps throwing scaremongering up in the air with how he'd deal with Son, Danny Rose coming at him. He was fine defensively at right back. I don't see any reason why.
Son wasn't in the game.
No, and Son was on the other side as well, which helped. He was up against Monreal.
Carry on.
No, that's my favourite thing about it, was everyone was like, oh, Son's going to go down the left, and he turned up on the right, which is why Mustafi dealt with him. But I think he had a really good game. You know, it's one of those, you make a player play out of their position, so he had to think a bit more. You know, he knows, well, we might not say he knows how to play centre-back, but he has been brought up as a centre-back. You then tell him to play in defence, but you've got to play right-back. He's got to think about it a little bit more. So he's got a higher level of concentration. And I think he had full level of concentration across that game all day today. And the one decision that went against him ultimately got us a draw.
Yeah, look, you know, it's one of those, isn't it? There's another question coming up, but I'm in a second, so I'm taking. John, who Guna73 asks, who has the most punchable face in the Spud squad? I vote Trippier.
Most punchable face. Oh, I'm going Lamella, because I had to suffer his face in at Milan before he went to Spurs, so it's even worse. I was so pleased when they got rid of him, and then he turned up in the Premier League. I'm like, oh, for fuck's sake. You still have to see that to it. Yeah, can't stand him.
Got to be honest with you, I'd go with Dele Alli, personally. But all three
are
valid.
I wouldn't even deign him with a punch. He's the sort of geezer you'd slap in the face.
Bitch slap him. Nice. I like that. My Ankh Nagendran asks, why does Jason always go blind when it comes to Mustafi? I'll put this in a perspective for you now, my Ankh, okay? A couple of seasons ago, we played the scum at White Hart Lane. Rambo, we were under the cosh that day. Rambo put us ahead with a brilliant sort of almost sort of a half Cruyff turn from a cross coming in. And in the second half, it was Francis Coughlin gets sent off for a two-footed challenge on the touchline on Harry Kane. Now, I remember being on the podcast after that and saying, it's the stupidest challenge you'll ever see. And a lot of people defended Coughlin for that challenge. As much as I didn't think Coughlin was a great player, I liked, you know, you wouldn't attack him personally. You wouldn't, you know, it was never a vitriolic thing towards him. It was a stupid mistake. He cost us winning that game, but getting him sent off in a stupid situation. The challenge today by Mustafi, you will see that not given, you know, 9 times out of 10. You will not see that penalty given 9 times out of 10 because, you know, it happens in the Premier League. You watch all the other games today, that challenge will happen and people will get away scot-free. Because it goes against Mustafi, you just go on Twitter, type his name in a search, and you look at the hatred towards the guy. You look at the vitriol, which is aimed now towards him personally. I think it's fucking shameful. I think a lot of people should be fucking hang their heads in shame because it's become a personality thing. I think there's rumours being said about him and you know, attacks on his personality, which you wouldn't like said about you or what you wouldn't like said about other people. Combined with that, I think, as we've said on this podcast already, you look at most of his games, okay, and it's one brain fart here or one brain fart there. Actually, if you look back, who's cost us more goals? It's not going to be him. It's become, he's the boo boy now. It's become something against the man personally. We talk a lot on this show about how, you know, mental health and stuff like that. I'd hate to be in Mustafi's shoes because the amount of shit that goes down his lane is fucking disgusting. It's absolutely disgusting. And, you know, I'm not going to stand here and justify it or take the piss when actually he's played well today and the whole penalty thing's a shambles. But there you go. That's why I do it, mate, because I think it's fucking wrong and some of the words used towards him are an absolute disgrace. And if they were used towards us as individuals in that way, we'd be horrified. So there you go. John, Hunter Buns, Jove82 asks, question. Should we not have been allowed to retake the penalty? The scum cleared out the player in the box before the penalty was kicked.
Yes, I don't know what the exact rules are, but I know it used to be that if there is encroachment, then the penalty has to be retaken, regardless of whether you score or not. If that's still the rules, then obviously we should have. But let's be honest, how often do you actually see any penalties being called back? For that happens all the time. Players are always in the box. Doesn't mean it shouldn't be, but yeah, I'd have to look at the exact like wordings on the rules. I assume it's still the same thing, but yeah, should have been retaken. But then again, we're also saying that it probably shouldn't have been a pen either. So, you know,
that's a fair comment. Josh Dano asks, Carly Joel Guna asks, do you think Anthony Taylor gave a soft penalty to Auber to make up for Kane being offside with that penalty?
Yeah, but then I'd be giving Anthony Taylor an ounce of credit, which he deserves very little of.
Oh, fair enough. That's it, is it?
Sorry, I didn't carpenter it.
Okay, brilliant. Nano asks, Jason, can you please elaborate on your annoyance of the result? Except for the penalty miss, I think the result is fair. I would have taken a draw at the beginning of the match. Nano, I can't knock what you're saying, but it's the scum, and my stomach has been doing sort of the washing machine routine all day for this. I don't want to be fair for them because they're a cheating bunch of scummy victim mentality assholes. I never want to be fair to them. I thought we did enough to win it today. Unfortunately, I'm finishing at a stone. So that's why I'm annoyed, mate. I just can't stand them. So there you go. John, Eskuman asks, do you think the past week proves Arsenal are better with one of Auba or Laka rather than both in the side?
Yeah, I think I've been saying that most of the season, or I've been of that opinion the majority of the time. I think the only reason we started playing with two was because Ozil had fallen out of favour. Ramsey wasn't being selected as much because we weren't at that point 100% that he was leaving. And Mkhitaryan was injured. So, and obviously Welbeck as well got injured. So I think that was the only reason we were playing two. But I think as a team, the balance and everything is much better when we just have the one up top.
Okay, cool. Josh. Actually, Adrian Clark on Arsenal Media. The Arsenal TV channel, whatever. He did some...
The analysis, the breakdown thing, yeah.
Yeah. I like Adrian Clark. He's you know, very good at what he does. But actually, we score at the faster rate when only one of them is on the pitch. We actually do score. It's factual. So, you know, that backs up your opinion. Josh, Marble Halls TV asks, are we really that worse than Spurs? They've been better coached, but with Emery, we are closer than the gap.
I don't think we're that. I would never say we're worse than Spurs. Maybe last season we still had better players, though.
We beat them home and we lost away last season.
We drew, yeah. And we've beaten that by a point. You know, they knocked us out of the Carabao Cup, but ultimately they didn't win a trophy. We might still win a trophy this season, and with the fixtures we've got coming up, and the fact that four games ago they were like 11 points ahead of us. And now it's down to four. I think there's still, you know, as AVB was talking about negative spirals, I think they found themselves in one. They've still got some big games coming up. We've got a nice easy run, he says, touching all of the wood he can find.
He's got something in his hand.
Yeah. But yeah, I think at the end of the season, I still think we can finish third, let's put it that way, going by how Southampton are doing at the moment as well.
Okay, let's not put the cart before the horse. But I agree with you there, pal. I do. John, Unique79 asks, what about Sanchez kicking Koscielny when they were both on the ground? Red card? I didn't see this incident, I've got to be honest.
I'll be honest, I don't remember that incident in the game.
I've seen it. Shall I do it?
Yeah, go on.
Do it.
It was corner. Koscielny went up for the header. It was attacking corner. Sanchez in there. It's kind of like a big bundle. I think it's Vertonghen that clatters into Koscielny. And then Davinson Sanchez is caught up in all of it. And on his way back up, whilst Koscielny is on the floor, he decides to do like a bit of a donkey kick into Koscielny's glute. And yeah, it's not one of those that generally a referee spots because it's in such a... You know, it's in a pile of bodies and, you know, a guy's trying to get up. So if he drags his leg back, it doesn't necessarily look like he's trying anything malicious. But it is exactly that. And if it was any team other than Spurs, I'd probably expect the FA to actually find them and sort the player out. But bearing in mind their manager and their star striker was playing this game after what they'd done against Chelsea, I'm not so sure.
Okay. John, Payash Kapoor asks, Auba's penalty missed showed why he's not world-class. When the pressure was on, he missed while Kane scored. Both Laka and Auba were poor today. Why do they continue to miss clear-cut chances?
I mean, it's a little bit harsh. I'd watch what you're saying about Lacazette if Lana's watching, just in case.
Oh yeah,
she's been known to get more upset about you know, people saying worse things than that. I don't, the world class tag thing is so annoying because it's such a weird framing because it's all, you know, it's opinion based anyway. Look, it was a poor penalty. Some strikers are really bad at penalties; they're just not very good at them, which I know makes no sense whatsoever. We had one of the best players the game has ever seen, a certain Dennis Bergkamp, who stopped taking penalties completely, refused to, after a famous penalty save in a game that I'd rather not remember. you know, so like, it happens. They're going to miss chances. No striker is perfect. Love Stevie's putting there. Messi misses penalties. Yeah.
Do we need to start giving our penalties to our right backs again? Because that seemed consistent.
Oh, yes.
Lauren, Sanya, Lee Dixon.
It's either that or we sign Balotelli just for penalties.
The thing is, these guys are human beings, and you know, it's one of those things. Yeah. Stefan Selby, when he donated, asks, I'm going to take this one. How much do you love Socrates and the Socrates and Koscielny partnership? I thought they were very good today. I thought Socrates was excellent today, to be fair. But I think Harry Kane suits his style of play, if you know what I mean. There's no pace in Kane. You know, he's up, he's at it. And I thought they were really, really good today. I thought Kors was brilliant as well. The one thing I'd say is, you know, our goals against Colum shows that these guys aren't a world-class partnership yet. And, you know, and we still, I know it's a penalty, but, you know, we don't have a clean sheet. They're improving. Good luck to them. No matter who's playing in that centre-back partnership, I want them to do well. But I wouldn't overhype them just yet. The wankfest is not deserved. I'll be honest with you there. Last question to you, Josh. Michael Hahnemann asks, how much are we going to miss Ramsey when he goes? He was excellent today for me. I feel we're going to struggle to replace him.
Ooh. Yeah, I think we'll miss him in certain aspects. I think on the pitch, yeah, in the dressing room, you know, he's been here for 10 years. I think we might see a slightly different direction in what kind of players we target. So we might not directly replace him, if you know what I mean, because Ramsey is kind of unique in his play style. You know, he doesn't generally dribble with it. He, you know, plays 1-2s and moves up the field that way. I think we'll probably see another kind of dribbler come in. We were scouting at the Inter-Cagliari game last night at Barella. So maybe that's something to look out for.
Okay, cool. Right. That's it for tonight. Thank you to everyone in the chat box. It's been a really interesting chat box today. I think it's been some really good stuff, you know. So well done, guys. Thank you so much. So to all of you listening on other platforms, you've been fantastic. Brilliant. Thank you for your support. We really, really do appreciate it. Special shout outs for Unique79, Yvonne Okofo, Hunter Bunn, Zatile. I think I'm pronounced that correctly. Apologies if I'm not. Mike Hernandez, Petito 100, Michael Hahnemann, Vibor Singh, Stefan Selby, and Richard Morris. You're all superb. Thank you ever so much. You've been brilliant. Thanks to you, John. Well played.
No worries. Cheers, Jace.
Always a pleasure. Thanks to you, Josh. Well played.
Thank you. It's been great.
Was that forced?
I don't know what you're talking about.
Look, it's disappointing to get a draw from what looked like a victory. We've snatched a draw out of the teeth of victory again, and it's frustrating. But again, we didn't lose. That's 4 points from the NLD this season, and I was really encouraged by the setup from Unai and the way we played. So onwards and upwards, Gooners. You know, they're a scummy bunch of wank stains, and we'll always hate them, but onwards and upwards. Take care of yourselves. Have a good evening and enjoy. John, switch this.